Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to the interview portion of Power Talk. And I'm especially excited and privileged today to be able to sit across the room from a legend, a man who has continually touched people's minds and hearts and made sports history. And that is none other than Coach John Wooden. Coach, I really want to thank you for letting me come here to your home to visit with you.
Thank you, Tony. I consider it a privilege to have the opportunity to chat with you for a while.
Well, thank you, sir. Coach Wooden was a man who, in his 27 years as a coach at UCLA, produced a level of basketball quality and quality people, I think, and I think as a teacher, that's really what he pursued, that has been unmatched. In his last 12 years with UCLA, he won 10 national NCAA championships, unheard of. Previous to his work there, I believe, if I'm correct, Coach, there were only four teams since 1939 that were able to even win two in a row. You won seven in a row. National championships. A quote from a gentleman named Jim Murray, who's the LA Times famous sports writer, said that what Newt Rockne was to football and what Connie Mack was to baseball and what Wilbur and Orville Wright were to flying, John Wooden was to basketball. Those are pretty big comments to make about a legend like yourself. And I know you don't see yourself that way because you're so humble and you come from a different place, but maybe you can tell us, where did this all this start?
I think it started in my early days when I was raised on a farm in southern Indiana, south central Indiana, I should say. And I think primarily from my father and mother and perhaps a grade school principal. I went to a small three-room grade school, but the principal had a remarkable effect on me, which you don't realize at the time, but later on. Yes. And my father, too, who I... with only a high school education, I think he's probably as wise a man as I've ever come across. Tremendous common sense. And one of the things that he tried to get across to me and my three brothers, which I didn't appreciate probably at the time, was that you should never try to be better than someone else. And if he stopped there, it would leave you, I think, wondering, but he didn't stop there. He said, but you should never cease to try to be the very best that you could be.
Yes.
And when you think about that, and later on it came back to me and had a lot to do with my own definition of success, which I coined in 1934, that when you get involved too much in the things over which you have no control, it's obviously going to adversely affect the things over which you have control. And I think that came back to me later, and the things that we did on the farm, reading at night, and I think probably it's a reason of my enjoyment for poetry. There wasn't television or radio or things, but Dad would read to us at night, and I think it's perhaps while he didn't have the financial means to help any of us go to college, I think probably he's the primary reason that I and my three brothers all graduated from college, all became teachers.
Wow. I know he gave you a creed to live by at some point. Maybe you could share a little bit about that. Is it true also that you still carry it with you?
Yes, I do. Tony, when I graduated from this grade school, they sort of made a thing out of graduation from grade school. I'd say that we put on our best overalls. And
yeah. All three of you, huh?
Yeah. And he gave me this creed and a $2 bill, an old $2 bill, very large at that particular time. And I would like to say I still have it, but I didn't give it to my son, so he would have it.
Oh, that's nice.
But he gave me that $2 bill and said, "If as long as you keep this, you'll never be broke." And then he gave me a 7-point creed, and he just very simply said, "Son, try to live up to this." And the points were something like this: be true to yourself and help others and make each day your masterpiece and drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible, and build a shelter against a rainy day and make friendship a fine art and give thanks for your blessings and pray for guidance every day.
Wow. And it sounds like you've really, that's been a major focus throughout your whole life.
I wouldn't try to say I've lived up to it, Tony, but I would. I've tried.
You've done a pretty darn good job. From every person that I've talked to who's ever worked or played for you, they say you really live by that creed and that you really walk your talk, Coach. I know you had some experiences early on that shaped some of your values. I remember reading, I think, in your book where you shared that at one point, I guess one of your brothers threw manure on you and you had a unique reaction to that, and so did your father, and I guess it shaped some of your future values. Could you share that with us?
Well, we were cleaning out adjoining stalls in the barn, and my brother threw a pitchfork of manure over on me and hit me, and I was very, very mad, of course, and I went after him, not with the pitchfork, but he was 3 years older than I. I couldn't do much good against him at that time, but I didn't think about that at the time, and I went after him. But in doing so, I called him a name. I'm ashamed about it, but I did. And my father overheard, and he gave me quite a about the only real spanking of that type, I think, that he ever did. But I knew I had it coming, and you don't... when you know you deserve something, even if it's bad, you can accept it much better than the things yeah. that you feel you don't deserve.
Yes.
But I must say that he also gave my older brother probably one just as hard or harder.
And what did you learn from that experience?
Well, to control your temper, for one thing, and, and as far as using profanity, I don't believe since that time, no player, no friend, no official has ever heard me use profanity.
Yes.
And I probably had something to do with it.
I understand you also, one of your major philosophies in life is that you don't believe in allowing people to go through emotional peaks, at least on the basketball court, and that you wanted people to be prepared and be able to enjoy their successes in a unique and balanced way. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
My players would probably tell you that they never heard me mention winning. I don't think scores indicate that you won or lost. I wanted no excessive jubilation because you outscored somebody in a game, or excessive dejection if you were outscored. I wanted them each and every day to just do the best they could to improve themselves, and not let a day go by with doing that, because that's a day lost that you can never recover. And I never wanted and tried to get these ideas across. And you can't just tell them once and think they have it. The last of our laws of learning is repetition, and I would repeat them, but maybe not in the exact words, but getting the idea across day after day. For example, I would say that after a game, if you met someone that didn't know the outcome of the game, I hope they wouldn't be able to tell by your actions. As I say, I want no excessive jubilation or excessive dejection. Feel good when you've prepared yourself, and you're the only one that really knows. You can fool a coach and you can fool everybody but yourself. I know that you have prepared yourself to perform near your own particular level of competency. It may be, but the other fellow's level of competence is just better than yours. And there's nothing to be ashamed about in that, but there is something to be ashamed when you know that you didn't prepare yourself properly when you had the opportunity. So that was my idea, and I felt that that would have greater effect on the outcome of games than if I was stressing in some other way, trying to outscore opponents.
That whole philosophy of really improving yourself versus comparing yourself to the other guy affected your scouting as well. I guess you really didn't scout teams to find out how they played. You wanted to develop a plan that would work against anyone.
That was my philosophy. It's been said that I never scouted an opponent, and that isn't true, Tony, but I probably scouted less than any other coach, certainly far less than anyone that I've ever known. Yes, I wanted to concentrate on what we could do and try to prepare yourself. Now, I needed to know something about the opponent, but I could read and I could hear about others, and I would know the coach, and I would know the coach for whom he probably played, and I would know their general style, and I'd know whether they used a zone defense and what type of zone. I'd know whether they pressed. I'd know who were their better scorers were, and I'd know from the type of offense they use how that comes about, along with, of course, their own individual ability. So I didn't want to talk about those things too much. I'm just trying to prepare my team in our practices against any eventuality.